Thank you for tuning in to Trevor Talks Podcast, where we talk to real people about real topics and real stories. My guest today is a social media mogul, online pastor, author, and a great friend of mine. This dude's the original hype man. His new book, Start Where You Are, hits store shelves and online platforms everywhere today, and I'm super excited for you all to hear his amazing story. Ladies and gentlemen, get ready for some scriptures and stories with my friend Rashawn Copeland. Rashawn, what's up, my man?
Trevor, my man, my brother from another mother, but the same father. Come on,
yes,
now. That was quite the intro.
On. Come
Thanks
on, man.
Thanks for having me on, bro.
Bro, I'm excited to have you on. You've been busy over this pandemic. You've got kids. You've been busy. You just got back from the White House. Like, what is COVID? Like, you've still been grinding.
Man, hey, it did slow us all down, right?
It did.
Hit us by surprise.
Yeah.
But I'm so glad, you know, one, there was many lessons we both learned in this, you know.
Yeah.
We were just talking, you know, a few days ago on my ride. I think I was actually going to Tennessee. And
yeah.
You were down in Atlanta
mm-hmm.
at that time. And, like, we've just been processing together. I'm so glad that all throughout these years, like, we've been able to have these amazing conversations leading up to these moments we're in now that aren't necessarily easy. But
yeah.
we know that God's with us through all this stuff,
sure.
bro. I'm thankful for you, your voice and your heart and everything God's doing in your life, Trevor. So, man,
thank you so much for those kind words. And like, one thing that I want people to know right off the bat is this whole Trevor Talks thing that's happened over the past year wouldn't have happened if me and you would have never connected, because I was working at AT&T. I didn't really believe in what I was doing, but you were like, bro, you got a message. Like, we got to spread this. And you started helping me with social media and just helping me build into my calling, essentially. So without those times, and I'm talking dozens of hours on the phone and just figuring things out,
yeah.
like what content's going to work, what ideas we should chase, all of that led up to this. So this interview wouldn't have happened without Rashawn
yeah.
Copeland, God using you to step wow. into that position, because I needed that leadership in my life. So
wow.
thank you so much for being a part of that. But
man,
it, bro, like,
humbled by that, bro. But I know, you know, it takes, even, you know, there was many things you poured into me in that moment. Like, it truly does take the whole body to
yeah.
come together. It's not just one of us, but it's all of us coming together to build his kingdom. And I just think we all have this crazy part to play, and we've been playing it, bro. So let's
yeah.
keep playing,
man. So, like I said, it's been a busy year from you. You just got back from the White House. Your book came out today, September 1st, man.
Wow.
Start Where You Are is in stores today. How does it feel to finally launch this thing out?
Dude, a little bit anxious, but super excited. I'm Red Bull excited, triple shot espresso, elated. I'm pumped, but man, at the end of the day, I'm like, man, Lord, this is what we've been building up to. I hope it just reaches the right people. Put it in the hands that you want it in, and I pray it transforms their hearts. And yeah, I'm excited, bro. So thanks for mentioning it, and I pray it is a blessing for those who are listening right now, those who want to read it and buy it.
Yeah, and I want to touch on, like, the whole book is just basing around the simple idea that no matter where you are on your walk, that's exactly where God promises to meet you, even if it's messy. God's
yeah.
called us to start right where we are. So with that being said, I know in the book you hit a ton on your story, but where did this journey start for you? Where did God bring you from to the person
Love
you are
that.
Today?
Great question. Dude, it started pretty dark in... You know, I like to, you know, share how God oftentimes he meets us in the brokenness, like the place where we're broken, you know, and that brokenness sort of leads us to this place of repentance. Like, dude, I can't do this life without you. I'm hurting. I'm, you know, literally seeing the weight of my sin and all the things in my life that are causing me to really, yeah, just be hopeless in life, right? Like many
yeah.
of us, we've been that to that place where it's just like, where am I and why am I here? And what God was showing me throughout this journey, you know, even at my darkest moment, you know, as I was a high school student at, you know, this really peak moment of my life, I was an athlete and I began dating this girl. And I'll just share the story really quick where he sort of met me. But I was, in this place where I was getting scholarships from all over the country. It was, seemed really glorious outside. Like, you know, the lights were on me, camera action, but deep down within me, it was dark. I was struggling with depression, and that's why I'm so thankful for your voice, Trevor, and how you speak into these topics, because it's so needed. I wish I could have had you as a mentor when I was like 17-year-old, Rashawn, you know?
Yeah.
So even if it was from a distance online. However, on this dark night, you know, I was sitting in the car with a young lady, but unbeknown to me, she had an ex-boyfriend that I didn't know about, you know? So all of a sudden, we're in the car listening to Get Rich or Die Trying. It was an album by 50 Cent, right? So we're in the car. Now, don't think I won't hit you because I'm you listening to some rap
Come
music.
On,
it was
man.
Crazy.
Come on.
But what's wild about it, Trevor, is the phone starts ringing and prideful, egotistical Rashawn, the achievement addict, you know, Rashawn, who just knew I was on top of the world, quote unquote, pridefully took the girl's phone and answered it for her. Hello. And then when I said hello, this guy comes on saying, hey, why you with my girl? Why you with my girl? And that provoked me. My pride provoked me to go off on him. So I started, you know, being Mr. Negative, talking down on him, speaking against his name, different things like that. And, you know, he was talking back to me. You know how two prideful dudes get, you know. So we was going at it over the phone, having a little dog fight. Probably was a cat fight, really. But
there ain't kidding. No cat about you, bro. Yeah, don't do a meow, man.
But what was crazy, bro, like eventually we got to the point in the conversation where I was just about to hang up the phone on him. But I did make this unwise decision to tell him where we were.
Oh,
that was
man.
Not a smart thing to do.
No.
Right? Not wise at all. And then out of nowhere, we hear this van pull in. It was like 10 minutes later, you know, and then five guys jump out of the car. And at this point, I'm still in the car. So I'm like, hey, stay here. I got this. So trying to defend the honor of this young lady, I jump out the car pridefully, but fearfully, because I was really fearful. There was five dudes. Come on now. Five guys. I ain't talking about burgers. You know what I'm saying? It's about to get real.
Yeah.
So I'm walking towards them. They're walking towards me. I'm walking towards them. They're walking towards me. And every step felt like an eternity, you know, because like my mind's racing, my heart's beating out of my chest. What's about to happen? But here goes my pride.
Sure.
And then as I'm getting closer to them, I'm about five steps away, six steps away, somewhere around there. And a guy who was in front, which was her ex-boyfriend, reaches for his waistband. He grabs a pistol. He waves it in the air. And I didn't know it was a pistol at first. I thought it was probably a BB gun. He can't be real. You know what I'm saying? He can't be real.
Yeah.
So I turn to run. I slip and I fall. He stands over me. Two gunshots rang out. They run. At this point, my heart is just jumping out of my chest. I'm like, what just happened? I seen the flash of it was a real gun.
Were you
I'm
hit?
Like, wow, did I just get shot? I didn't know what was happening. My mind was racing. Adrenaline was pumping. I get up to run. I take off running. Now, at this point, I hear the van about to peel back out. And I'm thinking, no, they're going to finish me off. They're going to pull up and shoot me and kill me. Like, I mean, I made it out of that first part, it feels like.
Yeah.
But, you know, at this point, like, I'm like, I got to do something. So I dove on the left side of the car to hide just in case they wanted to finish me. So as I'm laying on this cold cement, I'm looking up inside the door. The door is open, the passenger door, and the young lady is gone. She was just previously there with me, but she's gone now. So at this point, as I'm laying on this cold concrete, I'm questioning everything. Number one, like, where's everyone at? I'm on this cold concrete and I feel this warm blood running up my back and I'm going in a panic attack. I'm scared out of my mind. Like, God, I'm not ready to die. I'm not ready to die. And several things went through my head at that moment because I was so scared, dude. Everything was on the line. You know, I was at a place where I began to question, you know, different things like, wow, my coaches aren't here right now. My friends aren't here right now. My crazy cousins aren't here right now. The girl is in here right now.
Yeah.
I'm here all by myself. But God revealed something to me so beautiful. He was there. And at that moment, I began to say, God, I need you for the first time ever. And that's why I love the book of Psalms. Psalms 40 talks about, David said, I cried out to the Lord and he heard my cry. And then he said, he picked me up out of that slimy pit, out of the mud and mire. And then it goes on to say, he gave me a firm place to stand. But I'm just saying, when I cried out to the Lord, he heard my cry and he helped me in that moment. A guy came out of nowhere, maybe 20 minutes later, which really, again, felt like an eternity.
Yeah.
Because, you know, it's not roses and rainbows while you're sitting on the ground on the pavement but leaking out. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's real deal. And you, literally, you're facing death right in the face. And it was scary. It was the scariest thing.
And this was pre-cell phones. This was pre-cell phone.
Well, there were cell phones. It was the razors, the Sidekicks.
Did you have a cell phone?
That night I did, but it was cracked. The bullet the cement cracked my cell phone that night when I fell on my back to avoid the bullet.
Yeah.
But what was crazy, you know, somehow God called a man and I call him an angel because of like what? You know what I'm saying? He came and he got me at my lowest, darkest moment, but it was really the Lord, you know, doing the work. But needless to say, he picks me up. And he throws me in this truck. He takes me down to the hospital. I get to the hospital and literally all I can think about is like, I'm about to lose my life because I lost so much blood, bro. And I was weaving in and out of consciousness. It was real. So they end up getting me back to the ICU. And as I'm in this ICU place, I begin to talk to the nurses and the nurses begin to comfort me. But the doctor came in and said, we got to get this guy, you know, get him some blood, but also, you know, they start cleaning me up, fixing me up and things like that. So all I had left was just to pray and ask for God to free me from the grips of death. And what was amazing about it, Trevor, and I'll end here with this first point. But what was amazing about it was when I seen my dad come in that night and he came into my room with my mom. After the highway patrolman went to my front door, tell him their son just got shot down, which was a terrible thing to hear as a parent.
Yeah.
And because they can't tell you whether I'm alive or dead. All they have to do is share the news and send them to the hospital. But my dad walks in. My dad has always had that military bravado. I'm strong. You know, I've never seen him cry. He walked into the room. Tears were flowing down his face for the first time ever. And then the first thing that came to mind was like, if my earthly father feels this way, if he's crying like this, how much more is my heavenly father wanting me to come to the knowledge of his heart for me and how much he truly cares for me? Like, he's the one that created me. In my mother's womb, he set me apart. It's like, it just blew my mind, brother. And then from there, it was like a unexpected fork in the road that changed everything for me. But that wasn't my salvation story. I guess it may have been, but I ran off and drifted.
No, sure.
I wasn't discipled.
So pre this incident, you knew the Lord. So it wasn't just
knew
like,
of him.
Yeah, you knew of him, but you finally had that encounter when you were laying on the cold cement.
Yes, presence and power that day because no one else was there, bro. And he was the last one I could resort to. And I'm so thankful he doesn't come. And that's the message of Start Where You Are. Like, he doesn't come for the person who has it all together or the perfect person, but he actually are who we pretend to be. But he comes for who we actually are, which is broken people who need a savior. And that's why Jesus came. And I'm so grateful for that, bro. Like,
so
I don't know what I could have did without
him. Yeah. From that position, you did have the opportunity to play college ball. What ended up happening with that?
Yeah. So what was really painful and drove me into depression in a crazy way was because, you know, I thought the place where I was going to start was going to be at the University of Nebraska as a student athlete for the Cornhuskers with the big, but the moment I was shot down that night, they said they had to take my scholarship. And at that point, you know, I realized that, everything was over. So it took me into a depression where I started abusing the pills and everything because everything was stripped from me. But by the grace of God, there was an opportunity for me to go to junior college and play ball. And that was like another piece of hope that I had that could lead to something greater. But Yeah, man, it sucked because it really felt like everything I was building my life upon was really, it plummeted, you know?
Bro, and like, I've never been shot, never been in a position like that, but my story is like, I literally had like touring, doing all these things that I loved to do, thought I was called to do, and I ended up struggling with panic disorder.
Oh.
And it stripped me from it. So I had to fight my way back. It's almost like when you hear someone say that they got in a car wreck and they had to learn how to walk again and stuff. Yeah. I had to learn how to live again, man.
Woo.
Like, so for you, you had your identity wrapped up in football.
Yes.
You had that scholarship.
Yeah.
You lose it. You had to learn how to walk again.
Yeah.
Where did God take you from there?
Love it. Just like you were saying, I love how you brought up, it's so important to know what to identify ourselves with, right? And, you know, we all have that longing for worship as humans. Our hearts are made for worship.
Yeah.
And the problem is sometimes we choose the wrong things to worship, you know, and worship is whatever you said, your adoration towards, whatever you get your approval from, all that stuff. So, sure. But thankfully, you know, down the line, he began to strip things and that began to show me, you know, one, the brevity of life, that in my life can even be stripped in a moment. Mm. So I started thinking through, like, had I died that night, there was a sense of gratitude in my heart, you know, that I didn't die that night. But there was also wisdom that came from fearing God now.
Yeah.
You know, he says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And also, you know, by the fear of the Lord, men depart from evil. But the part I was missing out on is the importance of being discipled and things like that. I chose to go. I knew of God, but because I knew of him and I didn't know him, God was a figment of my imagination. I idolized and I built God in the way I wanted him versus actually rightfully knowing who he is. His righteousness, his holiness, his goodness, him being love. I didn't know anything that like that. I just knew the idea of God. So here's what happened, bro. Like, I began to get around those wrong crowds. And as I'm hanging out with these wrong crowds, which Psalms 1 tells you, like, blessed are those who do not walk in step with the wicked, nor take the way that sinners take, or sin the company of mockers. But blessed are those who delight in the law of the Lord.
Yeah.
I'm delighting in the law of the Lord. So I was living the opposite of a blessed life. So whenever I got to college, I started sleeping around. I mean, acting a fool. I was a fun lover. You could call me like a hedonist because anything that would satisfy my passion in a moment, that's what I was going to do. I was going to indulge in that.
Sure.
And this is the thing about sin is that it's fun and it's exciting for a moment, but it truly does lead to death and tragedy. Like, you know, or whatever else, you know, it brings, it promises freedom, but it gives bondage. You know what I'm saying? So as I'm wrestling, you know, with this idea of what does it look like to live for God? I would have men of God come into my life who would model it to me. But there was just too much influence on the other side that kept me away from them, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
So, yeah, when I got done with college, man, I went to the military and it got even worse.
Yeah. Because
we have money now. You know, these broke college kids, quote unquote, went from being broke and, you know, still acting a fool in a dorm room.
Got you a dollar.
Yeah, exactly. Drinking, sleeping around, doing whatever we want to do. Yeah. But on the other end, when I got in the military, now, yeah, got me a dollar, popping my collar. You know what I'm saying? Then it went up to another level. Now that I have money, dude, let's go to a strip club tonight.
Yeah.
Yeah, let's.
A whole lot more temptation. It's like everybody wants more money, but when you get it, you just have so much more temptation. It doesn't necessarily have to be strip clubs and booze and everything. Like, some people are like find themselves addicted to gambling or pornography or drugs.
Yeah.
Like, or even trying to chase fame. Like, people that purchase like fake social media platforms and stuff. They get on there and they're like, I'm famous. I finally have a million followers. And then like 3 months later, Instagram cracks it down and their worth is gone. And also their however much they spent on that is gone.
Woo.
So like, why, and I want to ask you this question. Why are so many people so fascinated with the idea of people knowing their name around the world? And why are they willing to go through those extreme measures to get it?
That's a great question. That's something I have to introspectively ask myself, that critical question every single day. One, am I living for my name? Or am I living for fame? Or am I living to be faithful? Like, I got to ask those questions. Like, you know, God never called us to be famous, but faithful. And also, am I, Rashawn, are you trying to compete for the glory of God? That's another question I have to ask myself. And you know what? I've noticed myself, you know, really running into, Trevor, just to be honest and frank. Sometimes I could have this idea, like, or this sort of deal where I'm being driven by the approval or acceptance of men, but God never tells us to live, quote unquote, for the acceptance of men. He tells us to be God pleasers. Paul, what Paul say? He said, you know, what'd he say? He said something along the lines like, if I were a servant of men, you know, how could I be a servant of Christ? Like, we're called to please God, and an audience of one should be our pursuit every single day. It's harder to live by, but if you are intentional about, you know, really, one, examining your heart even before you post and different things like that, it would be so much smoother, you know, as you go forward with everything you do. But yeah, hey, if there's anything I'll tell someone out there, listen, don't fight for the applause of men, nor protect yourself from the critique of people. Live from a place of conviction by being carried along by the Holy Spirit of God, by adhering to the truth of his word. Live for him. In him do we live and be, and do we have our being. Live for him.
Yeah.
You know, because he died for us so we could live for him.
Amen, man. And God's been using you in such a mighty way. You started with Outwalls Ministries. I'm so blessed daily. Your wife just started her podcast, Set Apart Daughters. So God's using both of you in that introspect of like, okay, it's not just Rashawn. It's not just Denise. It's not just Without Walls or Scriptures of Stories. Start where you are. So many projects. And crazy. And for you, like, I feel like one thing that you carry very well is like, the other day you're doing a live stream with Bob Goff. And if I'm not mistaken, y'all got connected because you found his phone number in the back of his book. So I was, I think it was your podcast that I was listening to yesterday, with you and Bob. And I was like, so you mean to tell me Rashawn found his phone number in the back of his book? Rashawn already had a platform, but he still had to look in the back of that book for that phone number.
Yeah.
And I Googled it and I was like, does Bob, like, I was like, that there's no way. Like, he had to have like a personal copy or something. And sure enough, I got one somewhere laying around here, but there's a phone number in the back of that book.
Yes, all of his books.
It's crazy. It's crazy. And God has used that relationship for you. And so many other people have had conversations with a man and just left encouraged. So shout out to Bob Goff. I think that's amazing. Yeah, but the next thing I wanted to talk about with you is once you got into the military and you started finding all of these struggles within the military, what ended up happening next? Where did the transition into Hollywood go?
Love that. Great question. Great question, brother. So when I was in the military, I was quote unquote still trying to find myself. And the thing is, the problem is if we don't go to the one who made us, we'll never be able to live from the true place we were created to live from, or live for the true thing we're created to live for. So here's the thing. Again, what I went back to, bro, is one, trying to prove a point. I was trying to prove to my dad that I can be very successful in the military.
Yeah.
Because, you know, sort of the need for approval, you know, in the military put me in a place, in a position where I was super discontent. And I wasn't, I felt like I was there, but I wasn't supposed to be there. So what I did, I said, I'm going to leave. I told my commander, I'm going to leave after I graduate Army Medical School. I just want to get out the Army, whether I AWOL and run away, or I can do it the right way and go through the process of just trying to, you know, separate from the military. But here's the thing. They talked me into going in reserve component. I went to reserve component, and then I said, it's time, while I'm in reserve, to chase my dream. You know, the anthem of American. Even in some places in Christianity, it's like chase your own dream, pursue your own dreams, but also the world tells you to go after, you know, life is short. Go play hard. Go do
follow your heart.
Follow your heart.
That is
heart.
Such exactly. bad advice.
Yes.
Such
exactly.
bad advice. Woo. Like if I followed my heart, like boy. I'd probably be like in my third marriage or something. Like, and yeah. mind you, I've never been married. I'm single as a Pringle. Like, but like, you know, I would not want to follow my heart.
True.
Because I would find myself so astray. Like God yeah. gives me purpose. He gives me a drive. He gives me vision. He gives me words to say yeah. that hopefully encourage people. And it's not even just in the mental health space, like anxiety, depression, like all these things are so real to me. It's why I talk about it so much. Last year, almost a year to the day, September 9th last year, we lost Jared Wilson. And that was
so much,
like,
man.
Yeah, like it was one of those things for me to get very vulnerable. I had finally found that person, like the same music as me, like, you know, like you find that person that gets you.
Yeah.
And started helping me with blogs and some was going to help with socials while I was doing a tour. And, you know, like it was like we had that connection. And then,
yeah.
you know, God works in mysterious ways. And I think it's crazy how like Anthem of Hope is still being run by Julie and Christian Wilson and Kaylee Housewright. Like they're doing such an amazing job with that. There's some amazing things happening with Anthem of Hope this month, which I'm super pumped about. September 1st, like today, is yeah. the first day of Suicide Prevention Awareness Month. And what better way to kick that off? I know that you've had a bout with depression. Would yeah. you mind opening up about that in hopes that yeah. somebody hears it and is like, that's me right now. Yeah. If God pulled Rashawn through that, why can't he pull me through that?
Yeah, so good. So good, bro. And how can I best explain that? Isn't it crazy? You know, how one, what you were just talking about, Trevor, when we go off our own heart and our passion, our desire for a moment, because it felt good and it seemed like the right thing. The Bible says a man's way seemed like a right thing, but in the end, it leads to destruction. It leads to a bad path.
Yeah.
And, you know, some may feel amazing. Our feelings are actually, you know, there's some good in it. But here's the bad part is that our feelings can lie to us at sometimes, you know, right? Yeah. So even though my feelings felt good about going out to LA, I got out there, but my foundation was rocky. You know, I didn't have a firm foundation, but I began to get really successful. I was a hype man for Soldier Boy. Outwardly, I had a G-Wagon. I mean, I had the nice house. My Vine was popping. I don't know if you remember Vine.
I do remember Vine. I never popped on Vine, but you did, yeah. man. You were the man.
So social media was popping. You know, while I was in LA, collabing with different YouTubers, life seemed so good on the outside. I looked successful and everything, but on the inside, I was miserable. Mm. You know, and I remember hitting this wall because, you know, my brokenness, the weight of my sin began to just kill me, cripple me. And I love how, you know, brokenness is the place where God, he stops us. He halts us. He kills our progress. He causes us to hit a dead end, which literally is that end that stops us from really being destroyed.
Sure.
To turn us back around. And I'm so grateful for that. And when I think of it, it's also a place where all that we are, all that we have, all that we do in and of ourselves proves to be utterly insufficient, you know? Mm. Yeah. And so grateful that we hit those moments, because without it, how can we ever see the goodness of God, or how can we ever be dazzled by the love of God?
Sure.
Because he comes before we're ready. You know, I love that he comes long before we're ready. The Bible says, but God demonstrated his love for us all while we're sinners. Christ died for us.
Yeah.
He came before we even knew we needed him. And someone needs that today. Like, literally, bring your mess to God. Because that night, if I didn't realize, like, if he didn't put it on my heart to cry out to him, I would have been a dead man. I would have literally been separated from him for all eternity. But because, yeah, the grace and mercy of God, he met me where I was. So here where I was, and I'll give you that depression, that bout of depression. So I'm sitting in my house, you know, and all my friends had walked away. The girl that I was in love with walked out because she seen I was in an emotional relationship with a girl in the porn industry. Like, and I was in a dark place, you know.
Sure.
I feel so bad about it, but I'm so grateful that God used it.
It's your story.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So one night, I mean, because everything's gone and I'm about to take my life, I go down the hall and I grab the pistol and I walk back to the room. And it felt like a long walk that night going down that hallway because I was literally there. But I get on my knees and I'm putting the pistol in my mouth. I'm shaking, like literally shaking. I'm sweating like it's 180 degrees in the house, but it really wasn't. I was just nervous and my body was doing all kinds of things. It was a funky night. So I got this pistol in my mouth. I put it down. I'm shaking. I put it back in my mouth. I'm wrestling between the two. Here's the two things that came to mind, brother, as I had that pistol in my mouth. Number one, if I were to shoot myself right now and I don't die, I'll have to endure the same pain I went through when I was 17 years old. And I didn't want to go through that again. So I better die if I did shoot myself. But then on the other end, I had a, you know, dichotomy of feelings, like it was a wrestle back and forth. Because on the other end, I was thinking, yes, we serve this omnipotent, omniscient, all-knowing, all-seeing God who's infinite in wisdom and knowledge and understanding. He's a loving God, but he's also a holy God. And he's a judge. And am I ready to meet him? Like, if it really happens, am I ready to stand before my creator, the one who made me in his image? Am I ready to do that? And I had to just wrestle and talk and really wrestle, like, God, are you here? I wrestle with God like Jacob in that moment. I'm like, if you're true, show up. I need you, Lord. I need you. And as I'm sitting here and I'm asking God, just show yourself, reveal yourself to me. Here's the beautiful thing, and this is why I'm so pumped about us and what we do digitally.
Yeah.
The phone on the bed lit up out of nowhere in this dark room, and I was like, why? Okay.
Why are you interrupting me?
Yeah. I guess I've seen the light. Yeah.
Steve Jobs got you in that moment, bro.
Amen. A little brink of hope. But I take the phone, and it wasn't a – I was about to say swipe right. I couldn't swipe right because it was a sidekick. I pressed the button.
It was a what?
A sidekick.
You know, that thing that flipped out to the side?
Yeah.
Come on, man. Let's go.
Come on, brother. I had a notification from Facebook.
Come on.
And as I click on, you know, the phone, the young lady, the only Christian girl I followed, and I'm so grateful for her. She was the only one that I met at Baylor years before when I went out to visit my brother, who was a student athlete there. But I knew she was different. Like, and I would continue to be friends with her specifically online. But when I opened up her notification, her post, it said this, and I'll never forget it. And I needed it so badly that night. And it hit me at the place I needed it most. But it said, oh, how wide, how deep, how vast the love of God is, and nothing in all creation can separate us from this love that's found in Christ Jesus. And when I was reading and reading, I began weeping and weeping. I read it like 20 times that night. And as I read it over and over and over and over and over again, my heart softened more and more and more and more. And at that moment, I was like, God, I give up. I give up. I need you. I need this love that you're talking about. He said, in Christ Jesus, this love that we can't be separated from this love found in Christ Jesus. That moment, I was like, how do I get in Christ Jesus? How do I know? I want to know more about Christ. So here's the beautiful thing, bro. And the transition from there, I wrestled with God, but I was so excited because it was a new, fresh revelation. It was like, but here's the thing. You don't go from about on the brink of suicide, about to take your life, to roses and rainbows and puppies and Skittles and all
it's
that.
It's the beginning of a process, but it's not like a 180 switch in 0.10 seconds. I hate that people are like, I gave life to God yesterday and my life still sucks. And it's like, well, it's, I mean, are you, yeah, like,
Yeah.
It's not a microwave type of faith, you know. It's not going to be a 30-second ordeal. Slap that thing in a crock pot and be patient, you know. That's what you got to
so
do.
So true. So true. And here's, bro, I love that. I love that you said that. So I wrestled with God for a little bit longer. I fell asleep, went to sleep, and didn't even, you know, the nights where you fall asleep, you didn't even know you fell asleep. Yeah. You just wake up. I had one of those instances, and, you know, as I'm laying on the bed, I have this prompting to look underneath the bed. First time ever I had this utterance to, like, look underneath this bed. And the house I lived in was a beautiful home out in the valley. But here's the thing. My agency got me that home, that room where I was living in and things like that, and they would typically have people in and out, everything from actress, the actors, the musicians who would come in and out during audition weekends. So it would be a lot of people through there. But here's the cool part. When I look underneath that bed, it was a suitcase under there I'd never seen before. And this is that same night, right? And I'm like, okay, all right, God, you tell me to look underneath the bed and here's this suitcase. So I pull it out. I crack it open. And then I look in, there's these dirty, musty, the clothes stunk, right? But there was something far greater than those clothes in there. It was this treasure that I didn't even know was a treasure. At that point, I just thought it was some old, antiquated book, you know, that's dusty and needs a new cover, right? But guess what book it was?
Was it the Bible?
The B-I-B-L-E.
Come on.
That's the book for me.
That's what you need, man. I stand upon.
Yeah, the word of God. But check this out, bro. When I cracked open the Bible, it went to the red letters. And it was these words. And these red letters, unbeknown to me in that moment, were the words of Jesus. Mm. And it said this. He that wants to keep his life must lose it. But he that loses his life for my name's sake shall gain it. And then it went off to say this, and this was like, hit me head on like a semi truck. It said this. What does it profit a man to gain the whole world, but yet lose his soul? What does it profit a man to gain the whole world, but yet lose his soul? Those words hit me head on, and it blew my mind. I was like, wow. It was like that question mark had faded away. Like I knew, it felt like I knew why I was here. It was to know God and to know his purpose for my life. And then I kept reading it. And then it took me to Proverbs 19:21. And it said, many are the plans of a man's heart, but it's the Lord's purpose that prevails. So we can have many plans. We can have all these things we want to do. But at the end of the day, God's purpose trumps our plans.
Come on.
I needed to know why I was created. And so I went back to the one who made me by getting in that word of God, but praying and, you know, growing in intimacy with him. But from there, and I'll close out with this story on this, bro. So I steal the Bible that night. Whoever Bible it was. As a matter of fact, the Bible is the number one stolen book in the world, right? Mm-hmm. Isn't that crazy?
It's a treasure. People steal treasure.
Yeah, there we go, bro. There we go. You better preach.
I'm not defending stealing, but I mean, it just kind of makes sense. Like you hear all these pirate stories and national treasure, like they're all hunting treasure that doesn't belong to them.
Oh, very true.
You know, when it comes to the Bible, like, I'm not going to say there's an exception with it, but if somebody stole my Bible, I'm not going to file a police report. I'm be like, pray they use it and needed it, you know?
Yeah.
Like, maybe God's using that as part of their story like he did for you.
Yeah, true. Love that, Trevor. That's so good. And, hey, when I took that Bible, I jumped on the city bus, random city bus at the end of the street. I left everything. You know, it was like I was that prodigal son who went off to that foreign land and, you know, squandered my wealth, squandered everything I wanted to do. But I came to my senses. I was in the mud and I was like, even my, you know, father's servants eat better than this. And I finally was at that point, didn't know that was a book or story in the Bible, but it related to what I was going through. But I finally get on the city bus. I have this Bible and I'm reading it. You know, it was fun. It was awesome. But I finally get downtown 4 hours later after just constantly reading the Word of God. I finally get downtown and I jump on a Greyhound bus. You know, and I wish I could have said Jesus met me on near the Sea of Galilee on a beach somewhere, but he met me in that Greyhound bus. You know, I felt his presence in that Greyhound bus for 20 hours as I soaked in the presence of God and just was reminded of who I am in him as I read the Word of God. And it just changed me, man. And I never looked back from that point. I started where I was and I won't look back now, man. So.
Bro, that's crazy. God's given you such an amazing journey that you've walked through, and he literally took you, and obviously your book name just describes that so perfectly. Yeah. God used you to start where you are.
Yeah.
My question for you is for the listeners that are listening to this, if they find themselves in any kind of similar circumstance, and maybe they're going through that today, how can they start where they are today?
Love that. I would truly just tell you today, all throughout the scripture, if you don't have things together, this is what the scripture shows us, is that God, we love as human beings, we love as people, we love flawless resumes. We love looking, you know, at, you know, the good and perfect side of everyone. However, God came for those people with blemishes and gaps where their resumes don't amount up. And that's why Jesus said, I didn't come for those who are healthy, but those who need a doctor, who are sick. And I love how, you know, in the book of Psalms, when David, after he committed adultery, and some even would go to, depend on how you read the text, would even say he committed rape, you know? But I love how immediately he said, I didn't sin against people. I sinned against God. So I think it's coming to this sense that, dude, like, yeah, I hurt a lot of people. I've even hurt myself. But having this sense that, hey, we offended God. We offended God. But he wants to cleanse us of our brokenness. So wherever you are today, you're not too far to be reached. You're not too broken to be fixed. You're not too dirty to be cleansed. You're not too unworthy to be loved. So bring it to God. He wants a broken and contrite heart. That's the greatest thing you can give to him. Come to him sincerely. You don't have to have a perfect prayer. You don't have to, you know, have a certain amount of times you go to a church or a rule book you got to follow. Come to God as you are, and he'll take you where you need to be. And that's my encouragement for you out there today. Start with depression. Start with anxiety. Start with anger. Start with lust. Start with jealousy. Start where you are. And he'll take you where you need to be.
Ladies and gentlemen, this has been Mr. Rashawn Copeland. His book, Start Where You Are, is available everywhere as of today with a foreword by Mr. Manny Pacquiao. So y'all go check that out. Go listen to Scriptures and Stories podcast wherever you stream your podcast. Go check out Rashawn all over social media. I'm not even going to start sprouting out what social media platforms he's on because he's on all of them. Yeah. Just go look for Rashawn Copeland. But we love you, Rashawn. Thank you so much for joining us today. And we will talk to you guys soon.
Love you, brother.
A powerful prayer life does not require hiking a mountain to be able to hear from God. God can meet us right in the middle of our busy lives to help, guide, and speak to us through prayer. I'm Christina Patterson, host of the Teach Us to Pray podcast, providing practical teaching and encouragement on how you can make prayer a natural and consistent part of your everyday life. I promise it won't require hiking a mountain, but you just might develop the faith to move one. Listen and subscribe at lifeaudio.com.